Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Never go to the second location. Always trust your gut.
Hello, my name is Chrissy Champagne, and you are listening to Residue, a true crime podcast dedicated to keeping you paranoid. Residue is not just another true crime podcast, but a necessary tool for those who want to understand the dangers lurking in the real world. You are listening to episode 63. This is a story about the tragic case of India Chipchase. At just 20 years old, India goes missing after a night out with friends. This case took place in 2016 in Northampton, East Midlands. As always, listener discretion is advised.
For 20 years, myself and her mother Sue loved India. We love her now and we will always love her. Even though we will never experience her smile, her laughter, her caring again, her photographs will adorn our walls, the memories of her 20 years will live on, and her spirit will always be in our hearts. Whatever happened that night, whatever stories are told, the fact is my daughter was murdered.
India Chipchase was a young woman who embodied everything we hope for in a friend, in a colleague, and in a loved one. She was smart, friendly, and full of life. At just 20 years old, India was someone who knew what she wanted. She had dreams of becoming a paramedic and was already well on her way, training at St. Andrew's Hospital. India was the kind of person who lit up a room with her bubbly personality. She was kind, caring, and had a genuine love for people, especially her family, and she was incredibly close to her family. She wasn't one to stir up trouble. She always kept a level head. She was someone who could balance it all, working hard, studying, and still finding time for fun. In fact, she worked part-time at a local bar at night, serving drinks and chatting with customers. India worked at a local restaurant called The Calling Tree. She was a waitress, and after she finished her shift at about 8 p.m. on that Friday night, she stayed at the restaurant with her friends after her shift and had some drinks. After a couple drinks, the group decided that they all wanted to go to Northampton Town Center. Northampton, located in the East Midlands, has a lively and diverse nightlife scene, with Bridge Street being one of the central hubs for entertainment. Bridge Street in Northampton is well known for its vibrant and bustling atmosphere, especially on weekends. It's home to a variety of bars, pubs, and restaurants that cater to a wide range of taste, making it a popular destination for both locals and visitors. Bridge Street has a mix of traditional and modern venues, from cozy, atmospheric pubs with character to sleek, contemporary cocktail bars. The nightlife here tends to attract a young crowd. You'll often find people out enjoying a relaxed drink with friends, celebrating a special occasion, or just hitting up the late night spots for dancing. The night scene tends to stay active well into the early hours, especially on weekends, with many venues staying open until 2 or 3 a.m., depending on the crowd. So, on this Friday, January 29th, 2016, India had been enjoying a night out with her friends. The plan was just to enjoy a few drinks, laugh, just have fun. After a while, they'd head into the heart of the town to continue their night out, but what should have been an evening like any other turned into something else entirely. On this Friday night, January 29th, 2016, India and her friends had been enjoying a night out at a local club called NB's in Northampton. NB's was a popular spot on Bridge Street, known for its nightlife and vibrant crowd. Around 11:30 p.m., India and her friends made their way to the bar. The night was full of laughter, cocktails, dancing, but around 1 a.m., things took a sudden turn. India's friends went to the bar to buy drinks, but when they turned back around, India was gone. At first, they thought she had simply gone home or maybe left with someone else, but as time passed, it became clear something was wrong. India was last seen around 1 a.m. on January 30th. But when the morning came and India didn't return home, her brother and sister grew concerned. They tracked her phone using the Find My Phone app and discovered it was somewhere in the area of Stanley Road, Northampton. There is still no word from India. And she has also missed her shift at St. Andrew's Hospital. This is highly unusual. She hadn't called, texted, or messaged anyone. Her family began reaching out, texting her, messaging her on Facebook and WhatsApp, but there was still no response. India's family reports her missing on Saturday, January 30th, 2016. They report to the Weston Favelle Police Station, inform them that this is completely out of character for India to not show up to work, to not contact her friends and family. Police are immediately on the case. They speak to all of India's friends, family. Then they go to NB's bars to speak to the owners, the bouncers, and see if they can get some CCTV footage. So the police visit NB's nightclub to gather more information. They spoke to the doorman who remembered India from earlier that night. According to him, India had told him she wanted to go home, and so he called her a taxi. However, there was a complication. The taxi driver, who eventually came forward, said that when India got into the car, she was on the phone and didn't speak. When he asked for payment up front, India refused, and that's when she got out of the cab and headed back to the front door of NB's bar. At this point, the doorman notices India again. She is sitting on the ground outside, looking frustrated and alone. India had tried reaching her friends, but they were not responding to her text or her calls. Now, things took a darker turn. CCTV footage from the club showed India upset and seemingly distressed. And then, something more unsettling came into view. An older man, likely in his 50s, approached her. He was stocky, balding, and not very tall. From the footage, it seemed he was speaking to India in a domineering way. It did seem like he knew her, or at least he was trying to engage with her in a way that appeared manipulative. The man in India spoke for about 10 minutes, and the footage showed him guiding her away from the club. At this point, it was unclear whether she was going with him willingly or not, but the situation was becoming increasingly concerning. India, a bright, beautiful young woman, is clearly vulnerable in this situation. The footage indicated that she may have been trying to find a way out, texting her friends but not getting a response. The man perhaps sensing an opportunity, he was seen trying to get India into a cab. But that wasn't the end of it. As the police tried to dig deeper, the images from the CCTV footage were grainy and unclear, making it difficult to identify this man. Still, they persisted. They shared the footage within the police network in hopes of someone recognizing him. And that is when something unexpected happened. A police officer reviewing the footage recognizes this man from these grainy images. The search is now about to take a dramatic turn. By Sunday, January 31st, it had been over 24 hours since India had last been seen. Her case was now officially categorized as high risk, which meant that authorities could access more resources, including the ability to trace her cell phone's last location and gather vital evidence. The police began canvassing the area around Stanley Road, where her phone had last pinged. They discovered something disturbing. At 2 a.m. on Saturday, January 30th, India's phone had disconnected from the network entirely, going dark. At this point in the investigation, the police didn't know if India was alive or dead, but one thing was clear. Something had gone terribly wrong, and they were determined to find out what had happened to her. As they began closing in on this mysterious man from the CCTV footage, the question loomed large. Would they be able to piece together the final hours of India's life before it was too late? After days of searching, police had finally made a grim discovery. On Sunday, January 31st, 2016, just over 48 hours after India Chipchase vanished, her body was found. Police had been focusing all of their attention on 52-year-old Edward Tenniswood. When authorities shared the CCTV video footage with other officers, a police officer recognized Edward Tenniswood. 10 days prior to India's disappearance, this officer arrested Edward Tenniswood for drunk and disorderly conduct. On top of that, Edward Tenniswood had a disturbing history. He was arrested for historic sex offenses involving young girls. Though he had no prior convictions, his name had already appeared in connection to several investigations. And after recognizing him, it did not take long for investigators to uncover a key detail. Edward Tenniswood lived on Stanley Road, the same road where India's phone had last pinged. The police wasted no time. They went straight to his home, hoping to uncover something that could lead them to the truth. When they arrived, they forced their way in. The house was eerily sparse. There were no carpets, only newspaper scattered across the floor, and every inch of the upstairs stairs were covered in thick dust. Nearly all of the furniture was draped in plastic sheets as if to protect it from the dirt. Tenniswood, it seemed, had a particular aversion to touching anything unclean. But what they found in the front bedroom was far worse than anything they could have ever imagined. India was lying on a mattress on the floor. She had been tightly wrapped in a sheet, her hair fanned out around her like a halo. It was clear to the police that the scene had been staged. The killer had gone to great lengths to arrange the room in a disturbing way. The medical examiner's report was chilling. There was a small cut to the back of India's ear. India's autopsy report included 30 injuries to her neck, tongue, cheeks, ear, and she was killed by strangulation. India had Tenniswood's skin under her nails. India had put up a fight. Police knew that they needed to break the news to India's family. Her parents, devastated beyond belief, were told their worst nightmare, that their daughter was gone. Jeremy Chipchase, India's father, released an emotional statement.
For 20 years, myself and her mother, Sue, loved India. We love her now, and we will always love her. Even though we will never experience her smile, her laughter, her caring again, her photographs will adorn our walls, the memories of her 20 years will live on, and her spirit will always be in our hearts. Whatever happened that night, whatever stories are told, the fact is my daughter was murdered. I sincerely hope that there is no possibility that any other woman ever suffers at the hands of my daughter's murderer. Speaking from a father's perspective, I do not want any other father to hear that her daughter's gone missing like I did, and then for them to hear she's been found dead. No other father will therefore have to see the devastation that I have seen in Sue, Harry, and Pierre and Lulu's faces. No other father will have to see their daughter's body in the mortuary and be told they are unable to touch her or kiss her one last time. No other father will have to carry her coffin into a church with his son. And no other father will have to see her mother and siblings grief at the church service. No other father will have to touch the coffin and say, "Love you, Ind," and then see the curtain close at a crematorium. And no other father will be hit with a wave of emotion at a wedding, as I was, on realizing that I would never walk India down the aisle. I'm sure that I and other family members will continue to have moments like this of pain, anguish, emotion until we take a last breath. I therefore reiterate, I do not want there to be other victims at the hands of India's murderer, and therefore no other families to experience what we have.
Now, with India's body discovered, the manhunt for Edward Tenniswood intensified. The search was on. Tenniswood had disappeared. His phone had been pinging in Northampton Town Center, but where is he now? It was Sunday, and as a heavy drinker, he could be hiding in one of the bars around town. At least 30 police officers were dispatched to search for him in the town center. And just like that, they found him. Calm, sober, collected. When the officers approached Tenniswood, he seemed almost nonchalant, as if he'd been expecting this moment. His chilling words to police were, "You've clearly been to the house, and you found something. I'm surprised you found me so quickly." Yeah, so this piece of shit narcissistic showboater over here, he thinks that he's better than the police. But he doesn't realize exactly how much evidence the police already have on him. India had been a vulnerable young woman who was brutally taken from her family and friends. She didn't know her killer, but he carefully chose her. This man targeted India. In fact, Edward Tenniswood targeted young female vulnerable girls who would come out of bars a little intoxicated. Maybe they can't find their friends. I mean, this was this guy's MO. Just go out on a Friday night, wait around till you can find someone to murder and rape. 2 weeks prior to the murder of India, police see Edward Tenniswood on CCTV hanging around these same bars, just going up and talking to random women on the hunt. Witnesses came forward to tell police that Edward Tenniswood spoke to India in a way that it seemed like he knew her. They would say that they overheard him saying to her, don't worry, I'm going to get you home safe." I mean, this guy had to have done this numerous times. While investigating the crime scene at Tenniswood's home, police found other women's clothes and shoes just scattered throughout his apartment. And he lived alone. When police arrested Edward Tenniswood, he was carrying a knife and large latex gloves. He did not speak in his interrogations. He gave no comment. But come Monday, July 18th, 2016, Edward Tenniswood's trial will begin. And every seat was filled in that courthouse every single day. The media was reporting this in real time. And Tenniswood, he loved the attention. He was so excited that the media was there for him. He was a showboater, they said. He portrayed himself as a victim. He said to that jury, "It's really distressing to have to dress a dead body." I mean, this guy had no regrets, no remorse. He's the victim. This happened to him. Oh my goodness. During his trial, you learn that two people saw India get into the cab with Edward Tenniswood. She was drunk and she was on her own. She is an easy target to manipulate and maneuver. He is a sexual predator. He went after a vulnerable young woman. This is not her fault. Now, when Edward is on the stand testifying, he's going to give an entirely disturbing story about how that night went, making it seem like India wanted to be there. He said that they went to his house to drink. He wanted to give her a tour of the house. And as they toured the house, they laughed, they joked, they drank red wine. No. Nope. You did not. He pled not guilty. He's narcissistic. He thinks he's better than the police. He tried to play his hand, but there was just too much evidence. Edward Tenniswood says he spent time playing with India's hair, and then he killed her. He said he cuddled her. I get so choked up even saying that because I just think about how her family loves her so much, and you bring someone into this world and you raise them and care for them and love them, and in their final moments, some complete psychopath has control over what happens in her life. And that is so disturbing, and chills are just running down my entire body right now. According to TheGuardian.com, jurors were told that India had suffered blunt force trauma to her head and face and had a graze on her ear that had bled through to a bedsheet under the mattress that she was on when discovered. It was never clear how long Edward Tenniswood stayed in the house after she died, but he did check in to the Ibis Hotel in Mayfair at around 9:30 p.m. on Saturday. Jurors were told that Tenniswood reclothed India, covered her in a sheet, and left her. He also removed her belongings and placed them all around his house. It is no surprise that it only took the jury 2 hours to deliberate, and they did, in fact, find Edward Tenniswood guilty. He was sentenced to life in prison with a minimum of 30 years for murder and 12 years for rape. When you hear stories like this, you're just so confused as to how this happens, why this happens. It's hard to take any positivity from something like this. But I want to share with you something that India's mother, Sue Chipchase, organized in India's memory. The Northampton Guardians were created by Sue Chipchase. The Northampton Guardians are a group of volunteer street marshals in Northampton, specifically focused on ensuring the safety and well-being of people out and about in the town center. The Guardians support police and emergency services. They work alongside local law enforcement and emergency responders. They often act as a pair of extra eyes and ears on the streets. They help monitor the area for any potential issues or disturbances, reporting concerns directly to the authorities. They promote public safety. They help keep people safe, particularly on weekends when the nightlife in Northampton is in full swing. Guardians provide assistance to individuals who are intoxicated or vulnerable, helping to guide them to safer spaces, or they can call for additional support if needed. While they're not law enforcement, the Guardians are trained to handle minor disputes or potential confrontations. They are trained to diffuse situations before they escalate. They focus on keeping things calm and orderly in busy areas like Bridge Street. They provide assistance and information, whether that is offering directions or helping people find a lost item or ensuring that those in distress get home and they get the help that they need. The Guardians are there to lend a hand to anyone who might need assistance. On NorthamptonGuardians.com, January 30th, 2016, India Chipchase and her friends went out together in Northampton Town Center. During the course of the evening, India and her friends became separated, resulting in India being left alone and vulnerable outside of a town venue. Events that happened after India was separated from her friends unfortunately led to her tragic rape and murder. After the tragic events of 2016 that led to the murder of India Chipchase, we hope we are able to prevent this from ever happening in our town again and spread awareness further afield so people enjoy themselves and stay safe. According to their webpage, NorthamptonGuardians.com, some facts from 2024, they supported 310 females in 2024. They had 4,333 volunteer hours. And it's not only females. In 2024, the Northampton Guardians helped 307 men. Since they started in December 2021, they have supported over 2,000 vulnerable people. I will have a link to the Northampton Guardians in my show notes. I am amazed by this volunteer group. This is one of the most amazing things I've ever heard. And it's so smart to have people out there helping in situations like this. I mean, Edward Tenniswood was a predator. He was on the hunt that night. And to have these men and women out there volunteering their own time to help make sure that everyone is safe, it's so lovely and it brings just tears to my eyes. On the NorthamptonGuardians.com page, you can donate because they say that as a charity, they rely on the donations to help fund the free supplies that they give out to people. They give out things like anti-spiking bottle tops and personal attack alarms. They also use the money to buy medical equipment, to train their team, to fuel and insure the vehicles that they use, to buy their uniforms, and of course, they also have tea and coffee to hand out. I will have a link to the Northampton Guardians GoFundMe page in my show notes. India's life was stolen from her far too soon. And even in the face of such darkness, her light continues to shine. Her mother, in her grief and determination, turns this pain into purpose by creating a charity that helps others. This ensures that India's legacy will live on. Through this organization, like the Northampton Guardians, India's spirit remains a guiding force, helping those in need and proving that even after such a devastating loss, love and compassion can create a lasting impact. India's life was cut short, but through her mother's work, India's brightness will forever light the way for others. Thank you so much for joining me for this week's episode of Residue. You know I appreciate you all so very much. Residue is a one-woman show over here, created, hosted, researched, written, edited, produced by Chrissy Champagne. That's me. The best things you could do to help out the podcast are leave a 5-star review, share with your friends, hit that follow button at the top of your screen so that you know when to come back each week and hang out with me every Tuesday at midnight. A couple shout-outs real quick. Two podcasts I came across while researching India's story were Red Rum and Midlands Murder Files. I would definitely check these out. These two hosts are from the Midlands, so you can get a deeper feel of what it was like in that area through their point of view. I also wanted to shout out a couple listeners, Nathan and Aubrey. They are a husband-wife team. They created an app called Podbeat. You can add hip-hop or lo-fi beats to any of your favorite podcasters' voices while you're working out. Links for everything in my show notes. And as you know, you must stay safe and stay paranoid.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit moto.us for more details. Moto Casino.